to left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Okay, let's get it going. It is Friday, and welcome to the final day of February. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio on this Friday, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair. Yeah, Friday, February 28th, the busy hour ahead with Steinberg and Vicks on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Text lines open if you're listening live at 960-960. What is going on, Mr. Vickers? Happy Friday.
School me on some words. Thursday was the penultimate day of February. Does this mean this is the ultimate?
I believe so.
Happy ultimate day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The ultimate. I think we've seen that game Thursday in Tampa Bay a few times this season. I think we've seen that version of a game a number of times this year. A night where the Flames play really hard and do a lot of good things, but just can't find a way to generate enough offense to come away with a win. Or in this case, against Tampa Bay, any offense, as they get blanked 3-0 by Tampa Bay in game two of this road trip. And I guess when you're this Flames team, Vicks, those nights are going to happen, and they're probably going to happen a few more times between now and the end of the regular season, because this is not a team that is blessed with a significant amount of high-end offense, but they are a team that game in, game out, you can expect a certain brand of hockey from, and a team that when they play that brand, they give themselves a chance. And that maybe is the most important thing. And I think that you heard a lot of it coming out of the game in Tampa Bay, but you know, that is the way they need to play. And on some nights when they play that way and play it pretty strongly, they're not going to win. And that's just what happens when you don't have some of the same elite high-end talent that other teams in this league have. But that doesn't mean that you should stop playing that way, because that brand is going to give you a chance. Gave them a chance against Tampa. It'll give them a chance against Florida or Carolina or Philadelphia or Dallas and the rest of this road trip. So, and I don't think there was a ton of hanging heads or discouragement. I think they knew they played a pretty good game, but just couldn't find a way to score. Those nights happen, and unfortunately with this Flames group, they maybe happen more than they happen to other teams that have a little bit more on the high-end side of offense.
We've seen this script before. We're assuredly going to see it again at some point this season as well, and you're right. It's just the way the team is built. It's the way the team is structured, and it's not like the plan was to build a low-scoring team. It's just the fact of what you have for your personnel right now as you transition from a team that's in the retool. And the fact that the Flames are 29th in the NHL in goals for per game at 2.60, ahead of just the San Jose Sharks, Nashville Predators, and Anaheim Ducks, like, it shouldn't be a surprise that you're going to run into games like we saw Thursday against Tampa Bay, where, yeah, you come out, you played a really strong game, especially when you consider it being a road game in the middle of what is going to be your toughest road trip of the season, for all intents and purposes. And if you put that game out there that we saw them play against the Lightning, they're going to win more often than not, especially when you factor in the just Dustin Wolf allows two goals, one fluky, but bounces in hockey happen, so be it. But if you play that way regularly and your goaltending allows two or fewer in over the stretch, and the third one, of course, was an empty netter, but you get that effort, that execution, you allow two or fewer, and you don't come away with a win. Frustrating, but that's the way you got to play, and that's the way this team is built.
And honestly, I mean, there's 24 games to go. We're almost into the fourth quarter of the season, and I don't know if there's... It would probably be a little silly to just expect this part of their game to miraculously get better between now and the end of the season. I know there's a week from the trade deadline, and I know that there are lots of teams that are going to be loading up with scoring or attempting to load up with scoring, but there's not one move the Flames are going to make that all of a sudden turns them into a significantly, meaningfully more higher, meaningfully higher scoring team, because that's just not what they are. That's not the way they play. Because on top of them not having the elite talent, they also are a team that the brand they play is not conducive to a ton of offense either, right? Like the way they play does not leave a lot of room for, you know, a great deal of offensive creativity and a great deal of rush offense and those types of things. That's not the brand. That's not the system. That's not the style they're playing right now either. And, you know, they go and make that trade with Philadelphia. They bring in Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee, give them a little bit more depth. But that's not a deal that is going to take them from being 2.3 goals a game or whatever they're at to 3.1 goals per game. This is, and we've been talking about it all season, this is what they are. They're a very hardworking team that plays their tail off, that when they're at their best is very stingy defensively and doesn't give you a whole lot and is going to need to grind out a lot of close games. And on this night, Thursday night in Tampa Bay, they weren't able to grind out a victory. But you know what? Maybe Saturday in Florida, another game like that, they are able to grind it out. And a Panthers team playing a matinee game on home ice, maybe they don't have it the same way they need to. And Calgary works their tail off and comes away with a victory. It still doesn't change the theme that when they play that way, they give themselves a chance in almost any game that they're in.
Well, with the personnel that they have, even with the additions of Frost and Farabee, as you mentioned, they're designed to play a low event system. They're to a T, low event hockey is the brand that they want to play. And there is no elixir or magic pill, as you mentioned, that's going to suddenly make this team score one more goal per game. It's just not going to happen. Can the power play get a little hotter? Sure. Can you get more contributions throughout your lineup? Absolutely. There are some guys that are having some down years. But by and large, you're not heading into the deadline even and acquiring a Mikko Rantanen. Now, not good. Watch it happen now. I don't expect it to. But you're not bringing in a Rantanen or two or three other guys to bolster a stretch run to cure the offensive woes that you have. One, from where your team is in its retool, what asset management doesn't make sense. And three, you're just not going to go out there and try to absolutely reshape the structure of the team, both on the ice and, you know, what you have on your roster, to address this. The Calgary Flames aren't in a win now situation, so they're dealing with what they have and trying to get the best out of the roster that they have right now. And the best way for the Calgary Flames to win games is that low event brand, that hardworking brand, that's tight checking brand, the one that is not freewheeling. You're not trading chances up and down the ice. You're not getting into track meets with teams based on the personnel that you have. You got to play to your strengths with the roster that you've built right now. And that is that low event tight checking hockey that we've seen, which a lot of times comes at the expense of offense.
Yeah. And with the roster that this group has, that's probably...
And don't get me wrong, I like the depth the Calgary Flames have. They just don't have three or four marquee forwards that can score that goal at any given moment at the drop.
And that's why they play this way. Like, that's why Ryan Huska has gotten them to play this way, because they don't have those guys. And so when you don't have those guys, you can't, like, you need to tailor your brand of hockey to who you have on the roster. And so that is a big reason why they play the brand of hockey they do, because it wasn't necessarily the way they were trying to play it last year. There have been some adjustments from year one to year two under Ryan Huska, and they do have a much more lunch bucket style roster compared to last year. Lindholm's not here anymore, and Hanifin's not here anymore. Like, those guys were meaningful.
Even Toffoli, who's...
Toffoli, yeah. Guys aren't here anymore, right?
Yeah, well, it's like you don't... I hope this doesn't come across as disparaging, but you don't take your Volkswagen Jetta to the track. You use it to get from point A to point B. You've got to use your resources as it makes sense to. And to me, Ryan Huska has developed a system for this team. Clearly, they're having success with the formula that he's gone with. I don't think, well, I won't speak for you. I didn't have the Flames this close to a playoff push this late into the season. I don't. And it's a testament to the coaching staff. It's a testament to every player in that locker room, because they are embracing that brand that Ryan Huska has laid out, that if you guys want to have success, you guys want to be a playoff team, you guys want to stick it to every prediction in the offseason, this is how you're going to do it. It's the brand that we saw against Tampa. The goals weren't there, but it was the brand. And they've stuck to the brand way more often than not this season, and they found success with it. It's just you're going to run into games like the Lightning where you execute everything that you sort of set out. You just don't have the game breakers when you run into a hot goalie or a strong defensive system that keeps you to the outside. You're just going to run into those.
And I mean, look, an uptick from Frost and Farabee or Sharangovich or a little bit more offense from the middle six or whatever, that would help. But right now the Flames are 29th overall, averaging 2.60 goals per game. I don't think they're going to jump all the way into the top 10 between now and the end of the regular season. I don't think they're going to produce it. Like, top 10 is 3.2. Like, I don't think they're going to be producing like that between now and the end of the regular season. Like, this is what they are, and that's fine. And it's kind of like, yeah, if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to be because they find ways to grind out more games like Thursday night on a winning side than not. And generally, that's the way they've won most of their 28 games or 27 games or whatever it is this year, because they have been comfortable playing that type of hockey from start to finish.
That said, you would love to squeeze a little bit more offense out of the depth that you do have. Three of Calgary's top four goal scorers from last season are well off their pace.
But is that because of the brand of hockey they're playing?
I think part of it, but I think you could also argue, like, Sharangovich, for example, isn't playing near to the level that he did last year. He led the team in scoring with 31 goals. He's on pace for 16 this year. And I get there were some injury concerns at the beginning of the season, missed some time.
He would be the one.
Well, and
they've also got the uptick significantly from Huberdeau, right?
Yeah, but now when you're talking three of the top four, like, they're career years for a season. I understand that. But Coleman was second on the team last year with 30. He's on pace for 17. He still brings a lot of the other things, so I'm less concerned about that. Weegar had 20 goals last year. He's on pace for 8. Even if you want to talk Farabee, who was brought in, not the sample size that you can use with the Flames, but in general, had 22 goals last season, on pace for 13. So the Flames do have players that are capable of scoring more. I think even in the system that's being deployed, it's just not happening. So if you get a little boost there, you get the power play boost. But again, I'm not sitting here saying they're going to crack top 10. They're going to magically score half a goal a game more over the remaining portion of the schedule. I'm not here to argue that whatsoever. That's a losing argument for me. You'd hope that you could have the guys that led the way last year to a degree find another gear or find a little bit more to fill the back of the net more frequently.
Yeah, and we're kind of...
They are what we thought they were.
We're kind of into the last stretch of the season. I mean, they could use more from Frost and from Farabee and from Sharangovich. And, you know, we know Backlund's playing through something, but could probably use a little bit more offense.
He's really close to his goals pace from last season.
Yep.
So,
Coleman's going to be off of his goal pace from last year, so on and so forth.
In defense of Coleman in particular, he had 30 last year, yes. But he's a career 20 goal-ish guy. So, like, the expectation year in, year out for Blake Coleman for me wouldn't be that you need to be 25 to 30 because you've got a long runway of showing you're a 20 goal scorer. And again, the other stuff that he brings, I think, is very
But he's on pace for more like 15.
17 right now, exactly.
17 is what he's on pace for if it continues this way.
Yeah.
Read some text, 960-960. John says, I don't follow analytics, but are the Flames metrics that good, or is this a team that has gotten great goaltending and little else? They've actually decent. Their metrics are decent at 5-on-5 in that they don't allow a whole lot. They do a nice job of generally keeping things from the outside, and they've gotten really good goaltending. But on the other side, in terms of what they're generating and how they're finishing and those types of things, also not what you would call at the high end. But they have on the defensive side and those types of metrics, there have been some really promising things from the Flames or some things that you could like this year from the Flames.
Well, and I just quickly surfed over to Natural Stat Trick to check the PDO, which is sort of the luck factor of, you know, are they getting lucky? Are they not getting lucky? They're at 997. So they're like breaking even on the luck. So they're earning what they're getting. And they're doing a really good job of limiting what they're giving up.
They are a top 10 team, rather, in terms of their 5-on-5 possession. They're in the black when it comes to high danger chances. But where they do maybe not, where they don't excel is the amount of high danger chances that they are generating. That is, and that shouldn't be a surprise. They're a team that does generate high dangers near the bottom of the league. They would be in the bottom third in terms of the slot opportunities they're creating, but they're also a pretty decent team and protect in kind of the top half of the league. So that they are a decent team in terms of their underlying metrics. But it goes right back to what we've been talking about virtually this entire segment, is they are a team that does struggle to score. And that probably isn't going to change between now and the end of the season in a significant, significant way.
Well, it's not a surprise. They're 27th in high danger chances for, and what was it, 28th in goals per game. So very distinct correlation there on that front. But again, that's the structure. That's the style they need to play in order to be competitive against Tampa Bay Lightning, against the Washington Capitals, against some of the higher, more octane offensive teams in the league. It's by design.
Biff writes, I believe you guys would feel differently if you were actually paying thousands for season tickets. I don't know if we would, because I don't know. I don't know if I'm not quite sure what we would feel differently about that. They all of a sudden would be able to score more. I'm not exactly sure what Biff's talking about.
Like, are we talking from an entertainment value? Because if I were to put the fan hat on, I get more excited about wins than I do goals at the end of the day. And the system that they're played is tailored more directly towards wins than
More directly about how this team gets wins.
Yes, right? Specifically, yeah.
Jeff in Lethbridge says, I'm loving this hardworking Flames group that can roll four lines. You almost always get a full, honest effort. What else we got here at 960? This reads, the Flames have too many third line players, and if they keep drafting 17th overall, they'll never get any players better than middle six unless they get lucky. They'll need to build via trade and free agency. That's the text line at 960-960. Steinberg Vickers along with you as we're underway this hour on Flames Talk. Flames fall 3-0 in Tampa Bay on Thursday night. They are into Florida now. They've arrived and will get set to take on the Panthers Saturday afternoon and then into Carolina on Sunday afternoon. I did feel bad for Dustin Wolf. You kind of mentioned it. I thought he gave them more than an opportunity to win that game on Thursday night. Look, Calgary did a very nice job of the only time Tampa really generated was on odd bands from some ill-advised pinches. Otherwise, the Flames did a really good job of keeping Tampa Bay to the outside, and the goals that they score, one of them, as you mentioned, just the perfect redirect from Mackenzie Rieger. Like, that is a dream redirect. If he was playing for the Lightning, but right off his skate, far post, nobody had a chance on that. That is what it is. They happen. The second one, I don't even know if there's a mistake there. That's just a great play from Anthony Cirelli. I mean, I guess you could put it partially a mistake for maybe Matt Coronato needed to be harder on the puck, or I don't know. But like, to me, that's a Mark Stone level strip of the puck that leads to an opportunity for Chernak, and he walks right down Main Street and wires it to make it 2-0. But to me, that's a Selke Trophy level center iceman in Cirelli making a Selke Trophy level play, and all of a sudden it leads to the 2-0 goal, and then the empty netter seals it. So I felt really bad for Dustin Wolf because I thought he gave them beyond a chance to win that game.
Well, from my perspective, anytime, whether it's Wolf or Vladar, anytime your goalie allows two or fewer, you're in that game. And it just so happened that the guy at the other end allowed zero, former Vezina Trophy winner, stingy team on defense with some of that size that they have. They're able to keep the opposition to the outside. Dustin Wolf, from my perspective, was full marks, to be perfectly honest with you. I think the goal that goes in off of Uyghur, the Kucherov goal, Kucherov's reaction says it all. He almost crumples on the ice. He's like,
crumple.
Not what I was planning, but I'll certainly take it. And you get bounces like that, particularly if you're a high octane offensive player, you tend to get a lot of bounces.
But he was
he wasn't trying to bounce it off a skate.
Absolutely. But those will happen because he tries that cross seam pass and because generally it's a pretty high percentage pass off of his stick, so that he tries that cross seam pass, and most of the time it gets through. Sometimes it doesn't. It didn't get through, but unfortunately it went in the Flames net nonetheless.
And then the other one is a 50-50 puck, to be perfectly honest with you. And you don't fault a goaltender in a situation like that, where again it's a jump ball. you're either going to save it or you're not. And I know that's every save, but in that particular, you've got a one-on-one situation. Would you like a save? Yeah. At the same time, are you expecting a save? It'd be pretty rude to expect a 1,000 save percentage on opportunities like that.
Yeah. I mean, again, Chernak walked right down Main Street because everybody was heading the other way.
It's the look every player dreams of getting in a game.
And it happened because of the play Cirelli made.
Yeah.
And again, like, I don't even know if I put that on Coronado's shoulders. Puck's there. He's trying to chip. And most of the time he makes that play. But Cirelli's so good in anticipating and reading. That's what makes him. That's why he was on Team Canada.
That's what put him on
Canada. And so John Cooper probably helped too. But Cirelli's a hell of a player. And I think he's got a great chance to be on the Olympic team too. Like that's a Selke trophy. He and Mark Stone have kind of taken over as like those next every year Selke trophy type guys. And he made a great play as a defensive center or a two-way center to get a stick on a puck, knew exactly what he was doing, trying to chip it away, and it turned into the Chernak opportunity, and it's 2-0, and that's the dagger, right?
Cirelli can play on my team anytime. When it's all said and done, when he hangs him up, he's going to be a multiple-time Selke winner, I'm sure.
I'm a big-time appreciator of the work of Anthony Cirelli, and that was a reason why. Like that was Bergeron level stuff that led to the 2-0 goal on Thursday night. Apparently, do not celebrate a big milestone if your name is Blake Coleman. If you're on that line, don't do it because you're going to lose the game. Apparently, Michael Backlund's 1,000th Utah loss, Blake Coleman's 600th in the place that he won 2 Stanley Cups, lost the Lightning.
I will say this. I really greatly... Those are two very different games. Calgary was in the Tampa game.
They were never
in the Utah game.
That was a horrible effort.
That might have been the worst effort of the season. Effort against Tampa Bay? Check mark. Effort against Utah?
Big
red X.
Good news is Vancouver lost again. The Canucks have lost 3 of 4 coming out of the break. And that one's another kick in the... stomach, because they take a 2-0 second half of a back-to-back quality win against LA, even though they coughed up a lead. They get a 2-0 lead on Anaheim and they cough that up, lose 5 unanswered, lose 5-2. Like the Canucks are doing a masterful job of keeping the door open. It reminds me of 2 years ago when Winnipeg just was like, you know what? Close the door. That's a stupid idea. Let's let all these teams, let's keep Nashville and Calgary in the mix right until the bitter end. And
Winnipeg, did they clinch on game 82? Is that what
it was?
I think
it was 81? Game 81.
Okay.
Because the Flames got eliminated in game 80 on the Nick Ritchie shootout decision.
Don't ever bring that up.
Happened.
I'm aware.
Because and then Nashville actually stayed alive longer than Calgary.
Selling off everything at the deadline.
And they finished lower than the Flames in the standings, but were in the playoff race longer just based on the way the schedule went. But the Canucks are doing a great job of like, we don't want to close the door. Absolutely not. And so the Flames on points percentage are still the number 8 team in the Western Conference right now.
So I asked Kevin Woodley this on Flames Talk on Thursday. I'm going to ask it to you now. Do you consider this a 2-horse race, Vancouver-Calgary, or is it time to mix in Utah and St. Louis and maybe Anaheim?
I'll stop short on the last two, but Utah's 2 back, and that was another big win. And I just, they've got decent goaltending. They've got a very talented team. Utah is the team I will not count out. Now, they're a point back at Calgary with 2 more games played. They're 1 back of Vancouver with 2 more games played. So it's not like it's going to be easy for them. But that's the one team I'm not willing to count out. St. Louis, I'm not a believer in.
Well, and there's a lot of speculation going on that Braden Schenn's available, that they'll be sellers at the deadline. Yeah. So now, granted, we just talked Nashville, and they did that 2 years ago and went on a run.
Well, the last time St. Louis did that, I believe they made the playoffs. They sold off a number of guys and still found a way to make it in. But St. Louis and Anaheim, I'm not ready to put in this mix.
Well, I'm going to give you credit because off air on Thursday, you mentioned like, hey, Anaheim's playing a lot better recently. They've won 7 of their last 10, and I do believe it's 8 of their past 11. They are sit six back of Vancouver right now with a game at hand. Just beat the Canucks, obviously. The minus 26 goal differential doesn't look pretty, but they've got some young players that might not know better that they shouldn't be in this race.
Mm-hmm.
And great goaltending.
Any more texts I want to read before we move towards the round table? This one says, okay, so knowing all that, the fact this team cannot score, why are they bothering trying to make the playoffs just to get eliminated in the first round? Shouldn't the focus be picking high in the draft and developing those draft picks? Being mediocre over and over again is getting annoying. Now, we've heard, we know that this is a
team
constant,
tank.
It's just a constant conversation, and I get why it's a constant conversation, but the reason why they are trying to make the playoffs is because this team has said they're not going to actively try to lose. And they're not going to try to actively try to be poor. And so with the team they've assembled, which, by the way, they have over the last two seasons, this year and last year, Craig Conroy has followed through on getting this team younger. He's followed through on trading away guys who weren't going to sign here and trading them away for futures. And that process of this 3 to 5 year plan, of which we're not even a year in, this is the first season of it. I think he's done a pretty good job of executing the blueprint. That he hasn't like given us access to every single bullet point on his plan, but he's been pretty transparent about how he wants this to go. And I think that all the moves that we've seen over the last little while are pretty in line with what he's told everybody publicly. So they feel, whether you agree with this or not, they feel like playing meaningful games for Matt Coronato and Connor Zary and
Dustin Wolf
and some of the other young players, Ilya Solovyov, so on and so forth, playing meaningful games into March, March is a Saturday. They'll be playing meaningful games into March and probably April as well. And who knows what the heck happens in the playoffs? Like, they are, here's the good thing. Last year, you always used the term chip in a chair when talking about getting in. And I hate that. I don't hate the term. I just
hate me. No, just kidding.
I hate you. No, I hate team. I don't hate. I don't think building your team just to get in is a sustainable way to have success. But for a team that is building for more and has a bigger picture, I subscribe a whole lot more to, like, if they make it in, let's see what the hell happens. They could make, who knows? We see upsets or series that go to six when we think they should be four. Like, we see that stuff happen all the time. So because this group has a bigger picture and because it's clear that this is more than just about this season, well, yeah, if they end up making it in, I'm curious and happy to see what they end up doing and what type of noise they can make.
Well, on the flip side, too, you've got a host of veterans. Are you just going to tell Nazem Kadri, Blake Coleman, previous cup winners, hey, go out there and lose? It's fine. You want that message to be the message going to Coronato, to Wolf, to all your young players that, hey, go out and lose. And then when you want them to be competitive, have them flip a switch? That's not the way to go about it.
It is Steinberg and Vickers underway this hour on Flames Talk. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Time now for the Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. It's Steinberg, it's Aaron Vickers of NHL.com, and now Derek Wills joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Friday. Gents, you know, usually I wouldn't ask this question, but for the first time in a while, I'm kind of interested to see what the outcome to this will end up being. I don't know which way they're going to go. But I am curious as to what we think they should do. And by that, I mean the Flames play Florida on Saturday afternoon and then Carolina on Sunday afternoon, one of their last back-to-backs of the season. And we know how the goaltending split has worked typically this year with Wolf on the first half and Vladar on the second half. But how would you split the goalies this weekend in Florida, then in Carolina? What would you do if the decision was in your hands?
Well, before I answer your question, I have a question for you.
What's that?
Is this the Ted Rogers award-winning Pat Steinberg that I'm speaking with?
Yes, I guess it is.
Willsy, we gave him a round of applause when he walked into the studio today, I won't lie.
Good for you. I wish I was there to do the same. Congratulations, Pat.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
As far as your question, it's easy for me. It's Dustin Wolf.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have to think too hard about it. And that's not a knock on Dan Vladar, who I certainly think was excellent in the Flames' first game of the season-long six-game road trip. Only gave up one against the team that had scored 15 in their two games coming out of the Four Nations break. And had scored four more in seven straight. And he was one of the Flames' best players in that 3-1 win over the Capitals on Tuesday. And this really doesn't even have a lot to do with how Dustin Wolf looked in game two of the road trip. You know, I thought he certainly did his job, gave up two. And as you guys know, I always say that if a goaltender gives up two or fewer goals, he's doing his job. He's giving his team a chance to win. But tough to win when you don't score any goals. And Flames didn't in that loss to the Lightning last night. But for me, it's Dustin Wolf. He is this team's number one goaltender. He has been a workhorse. Back to what a guy has done against a particular opponent. And in Dustin Wolf's case, all he did was stop all 32 shots in his first game against the Panthers, shutting out the defending Stanley Cup champions by a final score, what was it, 3-0?
Yeah.
Back on December 15th. So, yeah, for me, it's Dustin Wolf. Even if he hadn't done that, I would have gone to Wolf against the Panthers tomorrow anyway. And then poor Dan Vladar gets the second half of the eighth straight back to get the season started.
Yeah, for me, I saw the question come by, and I'm like, oh, I go Wolf against Florida, and poor Dan Vladar gets the second of back-to-backs against Carolina. And in my head, I was going, okay, I'm not about to flirt with having Wolf play back-to-back games. You finally got him, not that he needed the rest coming out of the Four Nations break, but you finally worked Dan Vladar in to give a little bit of wiggle room for Dan Vladar to come back in. So it wasn't a question of do you go Wolf both. It was more of which goalie gets what team. But then I quickly wanted to check the splits. And yeah, Willsy, you said it. Wolf has one start against Florida, and that's a 32-save shutout in mid-December. Vladar has one start in his career against Florida, and it was a 31-save win, allowed two goals on 33 shots for a .939 save percentage. I flipped over to Carolina, and Wolf's got one start against Carolina, and he allowed two goals with a .933 save percentage in a win. But Dan Vladar is 0-4-0 lifetime against Carolina with a .479 goals against and an .875 save percentage. At some point, you got to wonder if Vladar gets the first of back-to-backs as well. You mentioned eight straight getting the second. Running the splits, and just to be different, and I don't necessarily think that this is how the Flames are going to do it, but Pat, you said it's my choice. I'm going Vladar against Florida, Wolf against Carolina.
You know, the reason I ask this is because for the first time, the scenario has set up in a way that you're like, I guess for the first time, I'm intrigued to see what Ryan Huska and this coaching staff does. I've been pretty sure what they're going to do in the seven previous situations, Willsy. This one, I'm a little less sure on, only because Vladar picked up the win on Tuesday and not by his own accord. I thought Wolf was very good against Tampa, but doesn't pick up the win against the Lightning. And this is a little bit different in that you don't get the full, like it is every second day, but you don't get the full amount of rest because you're playing in the afternoon. You're playing 4 hours earlier on Saturday afternoon as opposed to a Saturday evening game. So that makes me wonder, too. I'm like, I wonder if this is the time they flip going Vladar on the first half, Wolf on the second half. And on top of that, I also saw the splits. And I was like, huh, maybe they keep Vladar away from Carolina. I don't know what they're going to do, and that's the first time I could say that I know that I don't know what they're going to do, or I don't feel confident in knowing what they're going to do. And so that's kind of why I asked the question. To answer my own question, I would still go Wolf, because a Wolf on the first half, Vladar on the second half, because that formula has worked, and most of the time they've gotten the split at least. Most of the time, Wolf has been the guy who ensures the split by winning the first half. And more recently, it's gone the other way, and it was a loss on the first half, and Vladar picked up the win on the second half. But, you know, knowing how important getting a split out of these two games would be, yeah, you know what, getting both would be amazing. That would be, of course, getting four out of a possible four, do that all day. But I think I would still go with the formula that has worked and that has earned you splits more often than not in back-to-backs, and I would go Wolf first half, Vladar second half. But Wilsey, it just it's the first time in this situation or scenario this year where I've wondered about what the Flames are going to do. I guess if I see Vladar leading the team out of the tunnel on Saturday afternoon, I won't be surprised, or I wouldn't be as surprised I would have been as I would have been in other circumstances this year.
I would be a little surprised. Now, with that said, and take this for what it's worth, which might not be anything, Dan Vladar was in the starter's net at practice today. Now, I generally don't read too much into who is in the starter's net at practice, only who is in that starter's net at morning skates. And of course, with the early start time tomorrow in Sunrise, there will be no morning skate for the Flames. So again, read into that what you will. But big picture, I still think that it's important to protect your 23-year-old rookie goaltender and to put him in a position to succeed. And for me, that is playing him in the first half of this back-to-back. You've got two really good teams, and the Panthers aren't as good as they could be. If Matthew Tkachuk was healthy and going to play in tomorrow's game, then that would make it an even tougher matchup for the Flames. But, you know, Dustin Wolf, between getting that 32-save shutout in mid-December against the defending Stanley Cup champions and how he looked in last night's game against the Lightning, just didn't get any goal support. He certainly played well enough for the Flames to win that hockey game. They just couldn't put a puck past Andre Vasilevsky at the other end. I would go with Wolf on Saturday. I would go with Vladar on Sunday. But you know what's great? Would we be having this conversation prior to Dan Vladar winning his last two starts when he had lost six straight? No. I'm not sure we would be.
No,
not at all.
Yeah. And
that's, so I think you've got two good options there.
Which is exactly, that's the best part, is that you do have some options here, and that hasn't been something that they have had all year. And it's felt like, especially over the last number of months, it's felt like they've kind of been forced to go with Wolf in a lot of these games. Whereas here, you know, maybe they actually have the luxury to kick it around and make a decision. It's our Daily Flames roundtable.
Hang on, hold on. Yeah. One more thing.
Yeah.
You know what conversation we might be having instead? If Dan Vladar didn't play really well, especially in the final 40 minutes of that game against the Kraken going into the Four Nations break, and only give up one goal against the highest scoring team in the league, the Capitals, in his first game after the break, we might be talking about, should the Flames be starting Dustin Wolf in both the first half and the second half of this back-to-back? Yeah. Because they need the points, and Dan Vladar hasn't been helping them get the points. So now that Vladar is playing better, we can have this conversation. But fellas, if not for the last two games he played in, where he looked a lot more like the guy the Flames need him to be, I think we're instead talking about giving Dustin Wolf both of these games on the weekend.
Or it would have been a scenario where maybe we're not talking about Dan Vladar being one of the options. Might have been somebody with a different name, whether it's Devin Cooley or somebody else externally. You're right.
I'm told he's cooled off significantly with the Wranglers.
He has since the All-Star break and the All-Star appearance, and there is a concussion in there. There has been a slight drop in terms of the numbers, but still one of the best goalies in the American League on the season and is having a really good year. But maybe they would have gone external. Maybe they would have gone and used that two-week break trying to bring somebody else in. But Vladar looked really good on February 2nd and then rewarded them with a really good start on Tuesday in Washington. Derek Wills, Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg, Daily Flames Roundtable on this Friday. And you mentioned it, no Matthew Tkachuk, Wilsey, on Saturday afternoon in Florida. We don't really know the extent of his injury, the subterfuge and secrecy surrounding it makes you wonder if it is a little bit more serious. I love that word. A little bit more serious than perhaps is being or that we're being led to believe. But nonetheless, we know we won't play on Saturday against the Flames. But even without Matthew Tkachuk, what are our thoughts and how tough a test is this going to be against the Panthers?
Oh, it's going to be a tough test. There's no doubt about it. And I guarantee you they did not forget, have not forgotten what happened at Scotiabank Saddledome back on December 15th. Because remember, they got shut out in Vancouver the game before. I thought the Panthers were going to come guns a-blazing to Calgary, and Flames played a great game against them and didn't give up a goal. And they got shut out in back-to-back games to start off that road trip. So, you know, the Panthers, they'll have something to prove. There's no doubt. They're not as good a team with Matthew Tkachuk, obviously, but they're still a very good team. And we had a chance to chat with Ryan Lomberg, who, of course, won a Stanley Cup with the Panthers last season. And I asked him, are you excited? You don't have to go head-to-head with Matthew Tkachuk tomorrow. And he said, yes. But unfortunately, Sasha Barkov's still going to play and others. And then he talked a little bit about Sam Bennett and how happy he was to see him not only just represent his country, but score a huge goal for Canada in the final game of the Four Nations face-off. This Panthers team is certainly stacked, and I think they're a strong Stanley Cup contender, especially if Tkachuk does come back at some point in time, ideally during the regular season, but even if it's just for the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, you know, an excellent team. I'm told Sergei Bobrovsky will get the start and goal tomorrow afternoon. So you hope you can get a performance from either Dustin Wolf or Dan Vladar that is as good or better than him. And then if you're the Flames, you kind of have to do what you did in the first two games of this road trip, in my opinion. And I know they lost in Tampa on Thursday night. Talking to some people today, everybody kind of saw the game the same way that I did, fellas. The Flames were really good defensively in that game. Gave up two goals to the second highest scoring team in the NHL this season. Just didn't do enough offensively. So, you know, chatting with Blake Coleman today, you know, he does think there's some sort of happy medium there between being really good defensively and creating a little bit more offensively, because as he pointed out, you can't win games you don't score any goals in. So it's going to be a tough test for the Flames for sure. But, you know, a huge game coming up as far as their season-long six-game road trip, as far as their playoff hopes are concerned. They got some help on the out-of-town scoreboard last night. The Canucks had and blew a 2-0 lead, giving up five unanswered to the Ducks of all teams. So the Flames still only 1 point out of that second wild card spot in the Western Conference. And boy, if you could get a win in Florida and pick up four of a possible 6 points during a three-game stretch to start a six-game gauntlet of a road trip against four of the last seven Stanley Cup champions. So the Capitals won it in 2018, the Lightning won it in 2020 and 2021. Of course, the Panthers won it last season. Four out of six against those three teams, guys. You take that every day of the week.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset about that at all if I were a member of the Calgary Flames. And listen, one of the greatest strengths the Florida Panthers have is their high-end depth. I mean, yeah, they're without Matthew Tkachuk, but you still got Sam Reinhart, Barkov, Verhaeghe, Lundell, Bennett, Ekblad. And you mentioned that goalie that's going to be starting against the Flames might know something about winning a Stanley Cup as well. The Florida Panthers had eight representatives at the Four Nations, led all teams in terms of that participation, out on another five staff members in various other roles. They are a deep team. Would you prefer to have Matthew Tkachuk in the lineup? Absolutely. To me, it makes you slightly less dangerous, but if there's a team that can absorb losing one of their high-end players for an indeterminate amount of time, it's the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a really good team, and they're a... They're still going to be one of your Stanley Cup front runners.
Yeah.
And I mean, they sit on top of their division, and there's a lot of competition in that Atlantic division, and it's going to be a really fun fight to the finish in that division. But Florida is still one of the... When you take a look at the way they're built, and especially when they get... Because it sounds like Tkachuk will be back. That seems to be... We don't know when, but will be back between now and the playoffs. And the Florida Panthers are going to make the playoffs. And whether they're first or third or wherever they end up being in their division, they're going to be a playoff team. We know that. And so they don't need to be a team that wins the President's Trophy. They don't need to be a team that earns a top seed. This group knows they've been to two straight Stanley Cup finals. They know what it takes to get through the playoffs. They know what it takes to conserve their energy until the most important time of the year. Like, this is a group that you look at and say, yeah, it'd be a surprise if the Panthers aren't in the Eastern Conference final this year. That's what they are. So, look, I mean, yeah, they'll be a tough test. They're a decent team at home. And without Tkachuk, they're not as deep. They're not as good. They don't have that same type of snarl. But they're still a really, really high-end team. And they just did a really nice job against a struggling Oilers team, but did a nice job against Edmonton on Thursday night, came back and beat them and held them off in the third period. This is a tough test. It's probably... Here's what I'm quite confident in, guys. It's probably going to look a lot like the first two games of this road trip. It was a tight game in Washington. Flames found a way to win. It was a tight game in Tampa. Flames weren't able to find a way to win, but they've had a chance to win both games. I'm with you on your kind of overall synopsis of the game against the Lightning, Wilsey. They played well. They played well enough to win. They just weren't able to find a goal. You're probably going to be talking about a fairly low-scoring, tight game between the Flames and Panthers if Calgary plays the type of hockey we know they have to play. So we'll see if that ends up being the case. And I do know that this won't be an easy one. And if they employ the same game plan they did the last time they played the Panthers, or the same game plan they employed against the Tampa Bay Lightning, they'll give themselves a chance.
Absolutely. And you know what the Flames worked on at practice today? I mean, they worked on a bunch of things, but you know what they really focused on today?
What?
Scoring goals. That sounds silly to say that, but they did. As a matter of fact, even at the end of practice, they had all the forwards at one end of the ice within about 3 inches of the goaltender, just trying to put the puck in the net. So they understand that they have to generate more offensively. And guys, I'm anxious to see what these new line combinations look like. Talking to Ryan Husk after practice today, there does seem to be some concern when it comes to Martin Pospisil and his status for tomorrow's game. He did not skate today. They had Adam Klapka in his spot on the right side of the fourth line with Kevin Rooney and Ryan Lomberg, but a new look middle six for the Flames. Yegor Sharangovich with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman, Connor Zeri with Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee. So the other combination, it's funny, we talked about it yesterday, I think. I kind of threw it out there that if the Flames struggled offensively, maybe it's time to change up some of their forward lines. And for me, the middle six was in play. And practice today, the middle six was in play, and we had a couple of new combinations. So we'll see what things look like tomorrow.
So what you're saying is, Wilsey, you jinxed them?
No.
No.
I didn't jinx them. I predicted that if they struggled offensively, they might make some changes, because I don't think there's been instant chemistry in the middle six, guys.
No, agree.
You know, we wanted those lines to work, but they haven't, and the Flames don't have a lot of time. They can't just sit back and hope these lines start to work. So we'll see. But I do expect some changes tomorrow as far as the line combinations based on what we saw today.
We will find out Saturday afternoon who's starting in net, what those line combinations look like, and a whole lot more as the Flames will continue this six-game road trip in Florida before going into Carolina on Sunday for a back-to-back this weekend. For now, Wilsey, have a wonderful rest of your Friday. Thank you, pal.
Okay, guys, have a great weekend.
He is Derek Wills. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up this hour on the program. Thanks to Cam Hughes, Taylor Dingman, our outstanding producers this hour, and the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport.